So as I mentioned before, the topic for tonight's talk is loneliness. And I had a couple people ask me already, why are you talking about loneliness? And yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm talking about loneliness because it's such a big deal for a lot of people. I see a lot of personal clients, and loneliness seems to be an energy that comes up for people, especially as, I'll talk more about the conditions, but it's a big deal, and it's not easy. It's not an easy energy to deal with if you've ever felt acute loneliness. It can be very difficult. I remember as a child I was very lonely. I came to this country at 5 years old, spoke a different language, had a different religion, Muslim, in a very Christian neighborhood. And not only did I not fit in, but I wasn't accepted within the primary group. And throughout my life, my family raised us to be different. Our culture was different. Our food was different. Everything was different. And so, I felt a lot of loneliness. I didn't feel like I quite fit in. And then as I had children and got older, the loneliness was no longer a big deal for me. And it hasn't been a big problem for me as an adult growing up. Thank goodness. But one day a few months ago, I felt an incredible bout of loneliness one evening. I'll just tell you a little bit about that and then jump into this talk. My kids growing up, I was a single parent of two children. And every Saturday was our special day. And just about every Saturday, we did a lot of different things. We went putt-putting and different sporting things. We bowled together. We went shopping together. But we almost consistently, every Saturday, ate a meal out at a restaurant and then went and saw a movie of whoever's weekend it was to decide that movie. So it was a very special time. And I never went to the movie theater alone, always with my kids. And then here as an adult, every so often I feel like going to see a movie. But my friends tend to watch the type of movies that get high Rotten Tomatoes. if it doesn't have 80% or higher, rating in Rotten Tomatoes, we can't go see this movie. But every so often I like to go see a cheesy, silly movie or an Action Jackson type movie that didn't get, an 80 in Rotten Tomatoes or 90. So I'll go by myself to see these cheesy movies. And I usually don't have a problem with that. But this time I went to this place, that big movie theater, Biltmore Lake, one night. And I brought myself there. And everybody I saw were couples. Couples and families and families and couples. And I noticed that I was the only person in the whole theater, because you can see everybody walking in, that was alone. So I felt this pang of loneliness. And then saw the movie, this family, and it was a real deep connection and love for one another. And then I realized, I don't have that. Anyhow, so I felt really on the way home, I felt this tremendous loneliness. And it was so strong. And I just remember, okay, open to this. This is your practice. It was a wave that hit me. There were some tears, that came. And then it just like everything, it passed away. So loneliness, a lot of different things can bring loneliness, so we're going to explore that. This is what tonight's all about. If you've had a recent divorce, or if you've had a recent loss, disability, if you're taking care of someone with a disability, discrimination, unemployment, these are all really common causes of loneliness. Even though moving to a new area, or having a new baby, or being in a new relationship, these type of things can seem really positive and exciting at first, but they can also be somewhat lonely. Anybody just recently moved here? Kind of within the last year or two? So you know what I'm talking about, right? So it's kind of like, can be a little lonely. But loneliness is a widespread problem in our Western culture. Our society. Research shows that about 80% of all young people feel lonely, struggling to find their group or their acceptance into their social groups. So kids growing up, young adults. Then lonely generally decreases with middle age, and then it increases again in older age. Overall, 15 to 30% of our population feels lonely chronically. 15 to 30%. That's a lot of people feeling lonely. So I wanted to say that it's important to remind ourselves that everyone gets lonely at times. It's a normal human emotion like all the other emotions. It's not a sign of weakness. It's just a mental, emotional state that arises out of conditions in our lives, depending on what those conditions are. I also wanted to make a distinction between being alone and lonely. Being alone doesn't mean that we're necessarily lonely, right? So there, I love to be alone. I spend a lot of time alone. I really enjoy my alone time, and I rarely get lonely. So that's being alone on your own is being alone. Whereas loneliness, your mind has turned this aloneness, a physical state, into an emotional state of loneliness. So let's talk about what loneliness is. It's an unhappy feeling, a feeling detached, isolated, and disconnected. If you're lonely, you might be feeling that you're without friendly, meaningful companionship and support. You might feel that no one understands you or that the people in your life pretty much misunderstand you. So it's more a sense of social isolation and disconnection, because you can actually be in relationship with in a partnership, in a marriage, and feel really lonely. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, in fact, some of the times that I've been loneliest in my life has been when I've been in intimate relationship. You can feel lonely in a large group of people. So it's not like you have to be with a bunch of people to not feel lonely. It's this feeling of feeling isolated, misunderstood, unaccepted, not connected. That's what the loneliness springs from. It's really hard to be with loneliness. Anybody agree with me? Yeah, it's not unpleasant. And sometimes there are a lot of feelings of guilt or self-judgment that come up, like, oh, I shouldn't feel lonely, or there's something wrong because I feel lonely. So on top of the loneliness, loneliness by itself feels pretty bad. It's kind of hard to deal with, right? And then when we start beating ourselves up or judging ourselves for feeling lonely, then it gets even worse. So it's like compound dukkha. Dukkha is unpleasant experience. Okay, it can be dangerous to be lonely. Because loneliness can motivate some really unhealthy choices or unhealthy behaviors. Anybody feel like they've done something pretty not wise when they were out of loneliness? Right? It can motivate us to jump into relationships with people that we're not necessarily aligned with just because we don't want to be alone. It can motivate us to jump in bed with people we normally would never be in bed with. It can motivate us to engage in addictive, weird behaviors like getting lonely, eating, right? Or watching TV or internet or whatever our go-to is. I've heard of a lot of adults. I've known a lot of adults. I've had a lot of friends who were desperately seeking partners because they felt lonely. They are looking for their next partner before they even end this relationship. I'm speaking from experience, too. When I was younger, I did the same thing. I was going from one partner to another because I just didn't want to be alone. I was afraid of the loneliness. So the only problem with this desperation that gets paired with, comes out of loneliness when we're seeking a partner, is that it tends to, this desperation closes down our minds and has us not think very logically, so we don't see the full picture. That's why we're willing to seek or accept things that we normally wouldn't seek or accept out of this desperation. Loneliness is shown to be dangerous for your health, too. Recent research, there are higher rates of obesity, higher heart disease, mortality, increase in blood pressure, and the stress hormone cortisol with the higher your loneliness. It's a major risk factor for Alzheimer's and cardiovascular diseases. And it can increase already depressive symptoms, anxiety, anger, pessimism, and it tends to lower self-esteem as well. So it's a pretty big deal, and it's something that we really need to be aware of and learn how to work with skillfully. So, did you know that we're like ants, bees, dolphins, and monkeys? Yeah, they're all social species, and human beings are considered a social species. When you look at the structure and organization of all the brain's functions, they all scream social. We're wired to be social beings. We're wired for connection with other humans. We tend to be, in our history, in social and tribal groups. We work together to get what we want, and we come together against threats. That's what the human culture tends to do. Right, so we're wired to be with our tribe. We're wired to be with our people. We're wired to be in groups. We need social connection. That's part of our makeup. So there's nothing wrong when we feel loneliness. It might be a natural drive to connect with our group, right? And yet, our Western culture, is our culture set up to be connected in groups? Not much, right? Right now, our Western culture sets us up for loneliness, I believe, with everyone with their separate homes and their, we're not supposed to need others. We're supposed to be independent and autonomous in so many ways. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it's interesting. I just came from Belize. I spent 8 days in Belize with my parents. And I talked to some locals there. And this one lady was telling me that they all live with their extended families. That, in small places, a lot of people living in small places. Now, we say it's because of economics that they can't afford to, live on their own. But the truth is that someone brings their parents into the house and takes care of their parents till they die. So they're very family-oriented. They live together. They take care of each other. They live near other extended family. They live near their community and commune together. They have regular, get-togethers. The whole community does. It's a totally different culture than our culture here. Part of me wanted to live in Belize. So, growing older. In our society, Western culture, that's not necessarily, it can be a pretty scary thing, right? Growing older in our society, because there's a tendency for us to become more isolated from our families and societies in general, which puts us at a higher risk of feeling lonely as we get older. And there are a lot of conditions that promote this isolation. Like the empty nest syndrome. Anybody gone through that? Empty nest syndrome. So what's the deal? You raise your kids. I don't know about you, but I was raising 2 kids, single parent. I was running all over the place between work and my kids. And Then when they were gone, I was like, what am I supposed to do now? So the time that we're totally focusing, if you didn't have kids, you know, that's fine too. But if you did have kids, and you're putting all your energy into your career and your kids, and all of a sudden when they're gone, you realize that you have pretty rusty social skills too. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because all your time and energy was devoted to raising your family, so you weren't developing all these social connections and keeping social relationships going. Perhaps. Maybe not. Maybe you were a wiser parent than I was. Another reason we might get lonely as we get older is some people get set in their ways. Very set in their ways. They're not open to changing or taking new risks, trying new things, right? And you have to be willing to take risks and try new things to meet people, to form our connections with your tribe. Jim over here, can I talk about you for a minute?
Yeah.
He's traveling the world right now. He started a new job where he goes and trains people throughout the world. And your next assignment is in Belgium? Mm-hmm. So talk about taking risks. You might want to...
67.
And he's 67. Yeah, so you're definitely not set in your ways. I bow to you. A lot of us have lack of social networks, you know, so part of not being lonely is developing some really healthy, good social networks. A lot of us who did raise children, our children then leave, and they're really, you know, preoccupied with their lives, trying to get their careers going, having their relationships, spending their time on their families, building their lives. And so now all of a sudden they don't have the time for us that they used to have. So that can be part of the whole loneliness too. One for me, this is a big one for me. I don't know what you've been, but I've had really best friends and good friends who suddenly get into new intimate relationships and they fall off the radar. Anyhow. But let's face it can be a pretty scary world to connect with other people, to have our tribe, especially if you've ever experienced ostracism as a youth growing up, or rejection as an adult from other groups or other people. It's very painful. And it can motivate a lot of people to have fear of social situations and therefore avoid social situations. There are a lot of people who avoid groups and avoid others and really just aren't willing to take the risks in order to form these connections. So, as from a mindfulness perspective, it's important that we explore any patterns of loneliness that we may have, because these patterns can tell us something about what's going on with us. For instance, you might want to ask, pay attention to loneliness. Do certain experiences trigger loneliness for you? Right? Like talking, maybe some other people are talking about their plans or their exciting lives or their new relationship. I was just talking to a friend who was telling me about her new exciting romantic relationship yesterday. And I was like, oh, this is so great for you. I was feeling really happy for it. But then I thought, maybe I should get on the website. A dating website. Yeah, so I kind of felt that. Anyhow. Is it worse on certain days or at certain times of the day? I had a partner who used to freak out every Sunday was our day off. And he would go into depression and crying, and he had a really rough time on our days off. The other days he was fine. That was his pattern. How much of your loneliness is the result of your desire to be with others? It's a true, you know, intuitive desire to connect with others, to fulfill this part of our human being that wants to be valuable and valued and feel valuable not only to others, but feel their value too, towards you. And how much of it is due to you not feeling comfortable with your own company? Right? The problem is that most times when we're lonely, we blame others for our loneliness. And we don't look within ourselves to find the root cause of the loneliness. You know, mindfulness practice, this practice is saying, hey, look at the root cause. See what's underneath these feelings of loneliness. Where is this originating from? A lot of times we may be pushing others away. A lot of us are pushing people away. So the way lonely people might be pushing others away is through self-absorption. Many lonely people who are attempting to engage with others unsuccessfully are actually pushing them away by talking about themselves the whole time, wanting to offer all their thoughts, all their feelings, all their interpretations, all their opinions, all their judgments. Do you know what I'm saying? And not showing any interest or caring in others. I don't know about you, but I've gone to a lot of family and other group engagements where not one person asked me one question about me. But I sure did hear a lot of other people talk about themselves. So being highly opinionated, if people are extremely highly opinionated, they might be pushing others away. If they're very negative, they might be pushing other people away. Anybody receive a lot of unsolicited advice that you didn't ask for? So that person who gives a lot of unsolicited advice might be pushing people away. Perhaps the person is way too serious and is unwilling to take a joke or give a joke or, you know, to interact in a playful way. They might be pushing people away by being overly serious as well. Perhaps, you know, a person is lonely because they're trying too hard, desperately trying to connect with people. And out of this desire, trying too hard, they're actually pushing people away as well. Right? So I'm not judging any of us. These are just things to look at within ourselves. If we're trying to connect with people regularly, and we don't understand why people don't seem to want to socialize with us, maybe we're engaging in some of these behaviors of pushing people away unintentionally. So from a mindfulness perspective, there's been a recent study that mindfulness meditation actually reduces loneliness. This is good news. And I forgot what it was. Was it 40% or 60%? The study said it reduced loneliness in adults. The people who participated in the study, the 8-week MBSR study, also displayed reduced expression of inflammatory genes, which are another sign of loneliness. So it reduces loneliness feelings as well as the inflammatory expression of loneliness. So when we experience loneliness, like I said, this is a call. This is an invitation for us to become curious about our experience. Once you see and call out loneliness, you want to say, oh, this is loneliness, right? Call it what it is. Accept that this is loneliness. Try to become comfortable with loneliness. Intimate with it. Examine it. If you're examining it, you might notice that loneliness is often caused by habitual thinking patterns. So pay attention to your ruminations or your thoughts, your beliefs, your historical mind habit patterns. Look to see if you have any of these beliefs or expectations, or you're projecting some hurt experience from your past, some rejection, that you're projecting this onto the present moment. See what the mind is doing, right? I was extremely shy as a young adult and teenager, extremely shy. And I had a belief that I was a shy introvert who could not engage with other people. So I basically would sit and wait for other people to engage with me. So these are some of the beliefs or expectations or stuff that I was doing that was not helpful for me. And I'll just say a few, and then we can explore some that other people might be doing. I believe that no one ever listens to me, so why should I try talking anyhow? Well, I found out from other people, well, you mumble. We can't hear you anyhow. So because I had this belief that no one listens to me, I would mumble and no one could hear me, so they would ignore me, right? I had the belief that men are not attracted to me, so I shouldn't even try to date anyone. And I also had the belief that you can't trust anybody. So all of these beliefs were... So I had to uncover and see these beliefs that were pushing me away from others, pushing others away from me. Right? So what are some other habitual thoughts or beliefs that might be motivating you to isolate yourself, or that maybe in your past you noticed? A few words.
I'm too different from other people.
I am too, way too, I'm too different. You might even say I'm weird. I don't know. You're not, by the way. It doesn't have to be yours. It can be someone else's you've heard before.
Well, I feel I'm invisible.
Okay, I'm invisible.
They just won't understand.
Yeah, yeah, why even bother? They won't understand. Yeah.
If I put myself in a new situation, then maybe I'll break down, maybe I'll make a fool out of myself. Mm. I'm going to be a spectacle.
Okay. Fear of, yeah, not fitting in or making a spectacle. No one cares about me. Can't find like-minded people. I've heard a lot, I'm not good in groups. I'm better one-on-one. I'm better off alone. Any of this sounding familiar? Anything else that you can think of?
What was the question?
Yeah, any habitual thoughts or beliefs that might be operating under the surface that has you isolate yourself? Or not even go forward? Yes?
I think if you are an actual introvert, might really actually prefer one-on-one. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nope.
But also, the problem is if you're an introvert, if you don't have a partner or live with family, it can be very exhausting to do a lot of social things because you need the self-nourishing that you get from being alone. Mm-hmm. So, but then... If you don't have a partner and you don't live with family, then you can get very lonely. Mm. So it's really hard to find, I find it's really hard to find the balance.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I can relate. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Did you have a belief or a thought that you were going to say?
Yeah, kind of two different sides of it. I think it could be characterized by the people are not going to understand. Mm. But also looking from a cultural perspective, so much of cultural norms of socialization revolve around like alcohol consumption or media consumption or, sports consumption. And there's very little that we see popularized around people just getting together to, expand their minds, have conversations about, things outside of what sports teams are doing and things like that. Mm-hmm. Not to abdicate responsibility for socializing, but there's also, in popular culture, not very many examples or alternatives brought forth for like other ways of relating.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to find our tribe, so to speak, people that value the similar things that we value. And it's because the population does tend to value other things. Good point. Yes, Marianne, and then...
I know some people, one in particular, who experienced death of a child. And then it's just too hard. They just feel like, you know, they're empty, and no one can really relate to that emptiness, the emptiness that they have, and, you know, nothing seems right to them with anyone else because their child is gone. For a long, long time.
Wow. Yeah.
So then you kind of feel guilty. You know, you're having fun.
With this person, yeah.
Yeah, because they just, you know, pretty much lost something big in their life and haven't recuperated.
Right. That sounds extremely vacuous and painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Did you have something? A belief, ma'am, sitting right next to Marian? Were you going to say something? Okay, somebody else? Yeah. Oh, yes. Maybe I should.
I wanted to inquire, were you recording? Is that...
Just my talk, yeah. Oh,
okay, cool. Great. I noticed that I do great under structure, but as soon as there's like a loss of structure, my anxiety goes up, especially in bigger groups, like five. Bigger than five or six people, there's not structure, I get all those feelings come up of not sure that I'm, worthy or valued or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, like, non-specific sort of anxiety.
Right, so you prefer structure.
Yeah.
In order to connect.
Yeah.
That's great. And some, Bob? Quick.
Yeah, sometimes I find that I go through a run of meeting people that I'd like to get closer to, but that they already have their social group that meets their needs, so they're not so open to bringing new people in.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a common thing. Like, they've got their tribe already, and it's not open to any to applicants, new applicants. Yeah. Yeah, so pay attention. These are thoughts and beliefs that we may have. You know, it doesn't sound like that's a thought or belief that you have. Yes?
I was just going to say, for revealing in people's comments, fear of judgment is a really powerful, subtle discourager for social interactions. Mm. So when we're so in what other people are thinking of us rather than being seated in just who we are, that can make social interaction challenge.
Yeah, fear of being authentic out of fear of judgment. Yeah, that's powerful. Yes?
I lived and worked in Germany for 3 months, and we weren't allowed to fraternize with any of the people we served. So I had two colleagues I worked with who were probably the most challenging, and I can give you two whole stories about that. People I've ever worked with, and I'm not used to that. So, and my social community is like the Sangha, a singing group, AA, meditation groups, and I'm pretty good about finding it. There was nothing.
Oh.
There was nothing. And the language was such that I couldn't, in the evenings, I was pretty isolated. Mm. And on the weekends, I was traveling, which is isolating. But what it did was really deepen my practice. My practice became the anchor that helped me to step back from some of that. Mm. And the thoughts were really interesting to watch and gave me some distance. And because I like solitude, but this turned into something besides solitude. And I'd say 70% of the time it was okay, but if I hadn't had the practice to step into every night for about at least an hour, I would have got lost in it.
Okay.
And it also showed me, and this isn't a judgment, how dependent upon I am about other things and that stimulation. Mm-hmm. So I had an opportunity to step back from that and be okay just being within myself. But yeah, it was It was an interesting experience.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, there's so many, is it a belief or thought that, yeah, very briefly.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say that I isolate because of illnesses all throughout my life and stuff that have just created sort of, like he was saying, it's a safe haven that I have had been forced to learn to take care of myself. And I like that, but it also creates a lot of walls and stuff too. So.
Yeah, that's a hard one because people don't understand illness, especially mental illness. People are afraid of that, like it's going to be catching or something. Yeah. So let's move on. These are really powerful ways. We need to explore what triggers us. When do we necessarily feel lonely? What conditions do we have? What thoughts are potentially feeding the loneliness? So just now we're exploring some thoughts or some situations. We may need to practice some more positive social skills that promote healthy connections with people. There's nothing wrong with improving ourselves in these ways, developing in these ways. Some of the positive social skills that may be helpful are like compassion, right? Practicing compassion with others. What are some others? Just one or two words.
Empathy.
Listening.
Good. Yeah, great listening.
Respect,
good.
Asking questions about their lives.
Asking really good, appropriate questions. Yeah, thank you.
Healthy boundaries.
That's great, healthy boundaries. What else?
Consent. Respect. So along with boundaries and curiosity, asking permission before really entering somebody's personal space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Being authentic is a big one. If we have to be fake in order for others to like us, then we probably don't want to be with that tribe anyhow. Right? The positive communication skills, you guys mentioned some of them, the deep listening, asking good questions, showing interest in others, before you speak, being clear on your intention. And also have the intention to add positively to the conversation or to the person that you're communicating with. Paying attention to nonverbal cues. And, you know, a lot of people I'll be connecting with, and listening to them, asking them questions and really connecting. And then they'll ask me a question and I'll start to answer what's true for me and they'll be on their phone. Or they'll be looking elsewhere. I'm like, hey, you and me here. Eye contact. Show that you care. Then what about what I'm saying? Posture, you know, communicates a lot of things. So we want to try to find people of like mind to engage with. People, perhaps classes or hobbies. Things that we're into, might want to form those groups. This one lady, a 103-year-old woman who was considered one of the happiest people, was asked on a radio program what her tip was for a happy life. And this is her tip. She said, give more than you receive. Always do good where you can. So when you feel overwhelmed with your own concerns, a great way to get out of your own way is to give to somebody else, do something nice for somebody else. This will pull you out of your own self-focus and help you feel better. Volunteering in groups, things that are important to you, will help you not only feel better, but also help you meet people with similar interests, right? So this is a positive thing to do. Pema Chodron, she says, usually we regard loneliness as an enemy. Heartache is not something we choose to invite in. It's restless and it's pregnant and it's hot with a desire to escape and find something or someone to keep us company. When we can rest in the middle through meditation practice, we begin to have a non-threatening relationship with loneliness, a relaxing and cooling loneliness that completely turns our usual fearful patterns upside down. And it turns things upside down because it opens us to the part of the brain that's associated with openness, empathy, flexible thinking, and creativity. So we really want to become curious about our loneliness, explore it, let it be there, let this wave come through us, you know, feel it completely in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds. And then as the wave leaves, we may choose to engage with people. We may see that, oh yeah, there's a part of me that's really wanting deep and meaningful connection with somebody. And that's fine. So you find your tribe, you connect with someone, but not from a place of desperation and fear and all those other things. Our true nature is that of interconnection. We're part of a greater web. And the more we sit with our loneliness, with our feelings, with whatever's arising, what happens is we seep, after the loneliness wave disappears, we're able to sink into the state of connectivity, our true nature, who we actually are, which is that big heart that we connected with in our loving kindness practice at the beginning. That's our true nature. The more we meditate, the more we will find ourselves dropping into our true nature from time to time. That's why we feel a lot less loneliness when we meditate regularly. I want to read a quote to you. This is Wendell Berry, The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound and fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. So thank you for your attention, for listening, and your courage and your sharing, just being here. Thank you.